Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Good morning, you're listening to Breakfast Business with me, Susan Hayes Culleton, in for Joe Lynham today. I hope you're settling well into your Monday and all set for the week ahead. I was fortunate enough to get home over the weekend. I was in Cork, got to have breakfast with my dad in Dripsy for Father's Day before heading to Thurles yesterday for the Cork and Offaly match. As I have already said, since I'm from Cork, you know where I stand on the outcome of that. So we'll be heading now on the 4th of July to Croke Park. Coming up on the show this morning, just as you heard there from Shane, we're going to be talking about the markets, the budget and AI. But first off, let's take a look that are hitting the headlines with Russ Mould from AJ Bell. Russ, the big story, of course, that we have to start with today. It looks like, as Donald Trump tweeted yesterday, it does look like Keir Starmer's resignation is imminent. How are the markets reacting to this?
Morning to you, Susan. So markets, when they look at a nation and whether they want to invest in it, whether they like its political and its economic outlook, they immediately do it through two ways. They react in two ways. One is the currency. Are we happy owning this country's assets? And two, how much they charge it to borrow. Right now, the pound is a fair bit weaker against the US dollar over the past 2 or 3 weeks, relatively stable against the euro, but weaker for choice. And borrowing costs have actually dribbled down a bit in the last month because the inflation readings have been benign and people have been a little bit less worried about the Bank of England interest rates. But borrowing costs over the last couple of days have begun to tick up as Mr. Burnham clinched victory in his by-election. And there was talk of Ed Miliband possibly becoming the new Chancellor of the Exchequer, a figure whom markets find a little bit divisive, should we politely say. So I think there is still a degree of nerves. It's now up to first of all, do we see a challenge? Does Mr. Burnham win? Whom does he appoint? And then what policies does he firm up? So there are lots and lots of ifs, buts, ands and maybes yet. So for the moment, I think markets are fair to say on tenterhooks, but at the moment proceeding with a reasonable degree of calm.
Well, more than 100 Labour MPs have called for Starmer to resign, and that's a quarter of the parliamentary party. So it seems clear that Keir Starmer is going to be leaving. And it seems that we're taking it as a foregone conclusion that Andy Burnham will come in. As you mentioned there about Ed Miliband, if he takes over from Rachel Reeves. The question, though, is the parameters that any UK government is going to step into are not going to change, even if the leadership will. So do you anticipate that we would see something different if there was a new PM? Or is the market basically saying, look, we'll see how this reshuffles, but the arithmetic doesn't change?
The maths is clear. The UK has got far too much debt. It's not on its own. And it's a situation that Mr. Burnham's inheriting, or would inherit were he to take over. But there are only really three ways out of it. You grow your way out of it, which is the best way of all. And let's face it, that's what the current Starmer-Reeves axis is trying to achieve. And if you could pull a lever and get the UK economy to grow, I'm sure it would have been pulled by now. You inflate your way out of it, which I think is probably kind of where we are now. And the printing press is always lurking in the background. All is austerity. Now, any chancellor and any prime minister knows austerity may be effective in some ways. But half the nation doesn't want tax increases and the other half doesn't want welfare cuts. So it's an absolute political loser. You're not going to last more than a term. So you're hoping for growth. You're probably going to lean on inflation. So I guess it's now a matter of how Mr. Burnham manages that framework, if indeed he has to go, if indeed he is presented with that choice, if and when he wins.
If we then move from the UK and we look at a more global axis, could we talk through the latest from Bergenstock in Switzerland regarding the ever-changing, capricious US-Iran talks?
Yeah, they seem to be proceeding after a bad start last week when they were delayed and there was further conflict in Israel and Lebanon, which for Iran seems to be a major red line. The Iranians then threatened to block the Straits of Hormuz again. They've now said there is progress in the talks. There seems to be progress in Israel and Lebanon and their war with Hezbollah, and that seems to be a possibility of peace there. So the Iranians have said, we're not going to block the Straits of Hormuz, and in return, we're going to get a chance to export our oil, some of our assets are going to be frozen, there's going to be a reconstruction plan. And that seems to be, you know, from the narrow, selfish perspective of markets, going down quite well. Oil's still below $80 a barrel using Brent crude, and things like jet fuel and fertilizer prices that rocketed when the war first began, they are now coming down pretty quickly. So ever since the first ceasefire on the 8th of April, financial markets view has been, that's the end to military escalation. Whatever happens next is de-escalation. It may not be a straight line, but at the end, the logical conclusion to that is a peace deal of some kind. That's market's core scenario, and thus far, it's playing out.
Well, that's how it might be playing out militarily. But when we look at monetary policy, then, Ross, it does seem to be that many of the major central banks around the world are saying that inflation, from an energy point of view, particularly, and I know you mentioned, obviously, fertilizer there, but it is spilling over into that second round effect. So are we now seeing that being locked in?
It's possible. I mean, some of this depends on how quickly these talks are resolved. Do people stick to them? And then how easy is it to actually implement them? Because ships have still got to get to the Straits of Hormuz. They've got to load. They've got to sail off to where they're supposed to be. They've got to unload. There's damage being done to production facilities around the Gulf. So there and also strategic reserves that Western nations have run down to put a lid on the oil price. Really, from a point of view of safety, they need to be replenished because these Iranians have now proven they think they've got a little bit of a chokehold there. So there are still reasons why you could argue that it's best not to be too complacent when it comes to oil in terms of its price, and therefore, yes, the first and second round effects that may have.
And then finally, Ross, could I ask you about SpaceX? We've been talking about the IPO, then we've been talking about the increase in the share price, but now MSCI has come out to give it a triple C ESG score. What does that mean and what's the implications?
So this is environmental, social and governance, which a lot of investors use as strict guidelines for whether they can, should, want to invest in a particular stock or country or bond. And this is the lowest rating that MSCI, one of the major monitors of this, could give them. They also give the country a very low score for, quote, controversies, again, to suggest that you may need to slightly hold your nose in some ways. Now, there are lots of investors who just view investing as about dollars and cents, nickels and dimes. That's it. Some investors want to actively do good. Some want to actively avoid harm. So with this one, you've probably got a little bit more of a thinking to do because there's defense exposure, there's key person risk with Mr. Musk, there's a share structure that gives him complete control of the company. His pay structure may make a few people blanch. So there are some things there that you really, if you are an ESG investor, you probably wouldn't be too interested in SpaceX, and you just have to admit that you mustn't give in to fear of missing out. It's intriguing that MSCI is taking this stand here, having on the other hand, fast-tracked SpaceX into its indices to create a further wave of buying. So one could say that, you know, MSCI is saying, well, those are my principles, but if you don't like them, I have others.
It is fascinating to watch what is going on around the world, whether it is at home or abroad. Thank you so much as ever for joining me this hour of the morning. Ross Mould from AJ Bell.
Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.